Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." I read a while back a story that I've told several times, but I like the story because it illustrates a good principle of a chilling nature scene. And it was how the story goes, a 7-member pack of wolves, you know, those packs of wolves that sort of roam around and hunt, they had targeted several oxen calves. And they were, of course, being guarded by the oxen adults and sort of, you know, guarding their young, which is pretty basic instinct for these animals. And as the wolves approached this sort of group of oxen, they bunched up in a sort of semicircle to, you know, be able to protect the young that were behind them. And of course, they were sort of with their backside out, with their hooves out, so they could kick. And, you know, they were sort of in a standoff there with these 7 wolves. But then at one point, because it was sort of nerve-wracking, you know, these oxen are a little bit jittery and the wolves are a little bit drooly and dangerous, you know, they're sort of intimidating them. One little single ox broke rank, one of the semicircle, one of the ones that was there to protect the young. And all of the adults fell into the same mode of thinking. Everyone sort of panicked, this line of oxen. And all the calves were left by themselves. And not one of those calves survived. They had a good protection, of course, from those wolves. But as soon as there was one weakness in the wall, it all just went downhill. Everything fell down. And this story from really like in the North Pole, I think it illustrates what can happen when there's a gap in the wall. When there's a gap in the wall of protection that's set up, it illustrates what can happen when there's a gap in the fellowship, or there is a lack of connection or unification in the fellowship, a divided community. You know, it's interesting because Paul the Apostle, who we're actually listening to today, who wrote the book of Philippians, warned the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 that after his departure, after he left planting the church and getting things going, that there would be wolves come in and not spare the flock. There would be those that would come into the fellowship that were wolves in sheep's clothing that would bring in false teaching and try to lead people astray. And of course, this warning was something that was important for the early church, and it's still important for us today because wolves continue to attack the church. But the truth is, they can't penetrate, they can't do anything whenever there is a strong unity, a strong community of believers that are connected through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, for the glory of God. It's when believers break ranks, however, they provide easy prey, not only for themselves, but can also lead their family astray, or even those that they're influencing when they're out of fellowship. When good Christian fellowship or community is broken, man, bad things can happen. But when good Christian fellowship or community is absolutely the necessity, when it's looked at as a priority, great things take place. It's absolutely necessary for there to be good Christian fellowship or community. Not only does it benefit each believer, not only does it help us grow as Christians, but it's also a witness to the world. Because a lot of people look from the outside into church and see a bunch of Christians bickering at each other and you know, pointing fingers at each other and not loving one another. And it's a bad witness. People go, I don't know if I want to be a Christian. It looks political. I don't know if I want to be a Christian because, well, they're always mad at each other. That shouldn't be the case. Today, Paul really exhorts the Philippians in these verses, and we're only going to study verses 1 and 2. We're going to pick up this next week and study verses 3 and 4. But today, Paul exhorts the Philippians about the keys to Christian community. He's trying to speak to the Philippian church and say, hey guys, there's three things that are important for you to keep in mind if you are going to be a connected Christian community. If there's going to be a good fellowship, there are these three things that are going to need to be there. These three keys he's trying to encourage in the Philippians. And really for us, it's great stuff for us to be reminded of. These three things we learn about today are some of the greatest challenges within the Christian church to make the church, listen, authentic. Because we can get together and we can sing together and we can, you know, we can look like a church on the outside, the, you know, the building, the place, the people can look great. But what really matters is we're connected through the Spirit one-on-one. As groups, we unite as a body. Not just as a social organization. Not just as a club. Three things to having a solid Christian community that I felt really led to talk about during this season we learn about here. Number one, the first key to Christian community is unity. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is just unity. In verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about some really important things, the foundation and the fruits of unity, and it's very insightful. Next week, we're going to talk about how the second key to Christian community is humility. And then also ministry. In the last couple verses, humility and ministry. But today we're talking about unity here in part one. A community is a body of people in a profession or field of activity. Like members of a medical community that unite as a team to take care of sick people. We've seen a lot of that in the news, how there are many nurses and doctors and people that are ministering to the sick community right now with the coronavirus. And I guarantee you will hear stories of how people have come closer to one another and really appreciated their times of non-pandemic. But the church is meant to be a body of spiritually gifted people, much like a hospital where we were helped in our health and we help others in their health, spiritually speaking. And we unite together to glorify the Lord, to solve, I think, together in giving out the gospel, the greatest spiritual problem that presents itself is spiritual death that needs to be remedied with spiritual life through trusting Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there, because spiritual growth has to blossom and be fed. I felt really led to talk about this now. I believe it's a much needed thing during this time of being on lockdown to emphasize the keys to Christian community. Because although we're separated through physical contact, we're still united through the Holy Spirit, through our times of study and communication. And I believe it's important for us, as we're in a place of isolation, to remember the things that keep us together and not be distracted with things that will only divide us, make us anxious, worried, and angry. Now, going back to our text, a little context to the book of Philippians, remember that the church in Philippi was founded by Paul 11 years before he wrote this letter. And it was something that's talked about in Acts chapter 16. You can go and read that. But I find it interesting that Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from his Roman house arrest. And so Paul, to me, is a great example of someone who is hid away from his fellow believers, but is gleaning from the main stuff about being a believer, and he has joy, and he's telling other people who aren't locked up like him, here's how you can have joy. What a great thing to talk about, huh? What a great time to study it. Now, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer, because as we think about unity, this first key we're going to discuss here today, and having a good Christian community, a good Christian community, the unity of believers should never mean that we compromise the truth. In other words, let me paint a little picture of this, sort of slow down. There are many churches over the years that have said, you know what, you can just come to fellowship, it doesn't matter what you do in your life, it doesn't matter how you live, we're going to love you anyways. And while the church should be a place where you can come as you are, the church is also a place where you cannot stay as you are. One thing that really stands out in my mind, 20 years ago, when I was in Austin as a youth pastor, I remember the Baptist church in downtown Austin that began to embrace homosexuality and said, you know what, we're just going to accept everybody that thinks differently. And, of course, there were many people that came into that, but what ended up happening was, is they were kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the idea was they compromised biblical truth in order to make it a friendly place for more people to come. Of course, there were, sadly, other churches in that community that followed suit, but other churches that stood their ground. And I use that as an example because it caused many people to walk away from studying the truth and become more about just loving others and accepting them who they are and not saying, hey, this is you, but here's what God says about how you need to change. And of course, over my years as a follower of Christ, I've watched how many people will not love one another through challenging them. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. And if you love someone and they're standing out in the road and they're going to get hit by a Mack truck, you don't just go, God bless you, bro. Wow. Boom. You say, get out of the way. Of course, speaking the truth in love, that's challenging. We need the Lord's help. My point in saying this as a disclaimer is that unity shouldn't compromise truth. The Word of God, through the Spirit of God, by the people of God, for the glory of God, but if you compromise the Word of God, then how do you know who the people of God are? And how can you glorify God? Interestingly, Martin Luther once said that cursed be that unity for which the Word of God is put at stake. C.H. Spurgeon said something powerful. He said, I am quite sure that the best way to promote union is to promote truth. I believe that. Not holding to the truth sometimes will cause people to break fellowship. Holding to the Word and keeping our eyes on the Lord should help us come together and be unified. But you know, it's mind-blowing sometimes because relationships require agreeing and disagreeing and keeping the main thing the main thing. So within a body of believers, in order for there to be a dynamic Christian community, there has to be grace and forgiveness. There has to be truth and love. It's interesting because marriage is an example of this. Family is an example of this. And the church should be an example, not an exception. And so the first key to Christian community that we see here is unity. And I want to talk to you guys about verses 1 and 2. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down, listen carefully, because there's two parts to this idea of unity that Paul teaches here. First, in verse 1, is the foundation of unity. Secondly, in verse 2, are the fruits of unity. So the foundation and the fruits. Verse 1 says this, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now, in verse 1, as we look at the foundations for unity, again, unity is this idea of a balanced, pleasing, or suitable arrangement of parts. Someone once said when it came to unity, weak things united become strong. And when it comes to unity, we're reminded of what Paul spoke to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. We have this verse on our ministry wall here at the building. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." There's a lot of diversity in the body, but even though there's diversity and differences, we're meant to come together with our differences and unite for a common purpose and a common goal. Now, there's four things mentioned here in verse 1. And they're all found, I believe, pay attention to the believer's connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pause for a second and let me get you to remind you of something. The first four commandments deal with your relationship with God there in Exodus. And the last six deal with your relationship with people. And so if there's going to be unity, understand this. And like in the Ten Commandments, if you're going to love other people through following those six, you have to first be aware and follow the first four. It's a principle. Connect with the Lord, love on the Lord, let the Lord love on you, and then you're able to connect with others and love on others. These foundational things here are found in a believer's relationship to the Lord. Now, when Paul says there in verse 1, "therefore," he's sort of reminding us of what he's just said there in chapter 1. He draws us back to how he's built on the end of chapter 1, telling the Philippians how to stand strong against external attacks, things that were happening to the fellowship of believers, how to stand your ground, if you will. And so pay attention and watch this, because this is important. He goes from talking about outside problems to now talking about inside problems. And he reminds the Philippians, if there is any consolation in Christ, number one, comfort of love, number two, fellowship of the Spirit, number three, and affection and mercy, which really is one, number four. If you're experiencing these four things, fulfill my joy by being united together, is in essence how he is saying what he's saying here. And he's talking about foundations. The idea here is that the Philippian Christians have received these things that he's mentioning. The first one, consolation in Christ. Paul says, look, if there's any consolation in Christ, what we could think about it this way, if there's any encouragement you've received in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I have mountains of encouragement that I've received from the Lord over the years. Yes, there's been strong rebukes from the Lord. There's been strong corrections. There's been times of the Lord just, I always like to think that he's slapping me over the head in a loving way. You knucklehead. But there's so many more times where his good thoughts towards me are abundant. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." As a Christian, we've experienced consolation for sure. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says this, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," Paul said, "so our consolation also abounds." Get this, through Christ. So it's interesting that there's a balance between our conflicts and our consolation. I love it. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, Paul says that God has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, not because we deserve it, but because we don't, and it's His grace. There's consolation. There's encouragement in the Lord. So remember this, Christian. The foundation for the church being a unified whole is you receiving encouragement from the Lord. Because with the comfort we're comforted with the consolation we are consoled with, we console and comfort others. And when we are not being comforted, well, let's just put it this way. We're not very fun to be around. Sometimes we go through those seasons. None of us are exempt. But the second foundation here is the comfort of love. And what I want you to understand with this second foundation is this. Paul's saying, look, if you've been comforted by love, be united with other believers. Think about it this way, plain English. Paul is saying, look, if you have been loved on by the Lord, love on other people by overlooking their faults, overlooking their flaws, by focusing on the things that matter, not on the things that are speculation. Not assuming the worst, but believing the best. If you've been loved on by the Lord, love on other believers. You know, this is so important because many times, as Christians, we will point to the external things that a person or a believer does. And if we don't understand that many times our actions are a result of where our heart and mind are actually at, if we just try to correct the outward behavior, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. So if someone has a problem with snapping at others or being rude or saying things they don't mean, the solution is not in their own strength to try to stop doing those things, but to experience the love of God and share that love with others. Getting loved on by the Lord. If there's any of you that are loved on by the Lord, man, be united with other Christians, Paul would say. He goes on, the third one there. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit. Because there's one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, there can be one body. And as the Holy Spirit indwells us when we trust in Christ for salvation and empowers us, comes upon us throughout our Christian experience when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we should experience the fellowship of the Spirit. The more we connect with Jesus, the more we listen to the Lord, the more we understand the distinction between our ideas and God's ideas, the more that we walk in God's will, the more familiar we will become with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we will be united with people in a very natural way. I've seen it so many times. The fourth thing he talks about is if there's any affection and mercy. One scholar pointed out that this particular phrase, affection and mercy, could be translated tender compassion. If you've experienced tender compassion in Christ, then be unified with other believers. I want to say that as we talk about these four foundations, I think these are good things for us to ask the Lord to show us on a regular basis. Because the more that we secure that foundation, more likely will we experience the fruits that we're going to talk about next. Affection here refers to tenderness. The idea is if there's been any affection in the Lord, If you've seen the Lord, pay attention. If the Lord has been sensitive to your feelings and needs and has met you in a very compassionate way, merciful way, show that same way to others. And hey, let's just stop for a second and pay attention to this. Haven't we done so much more against the Lord than any one person could ever do to us? And yet God comes to us time and time again and says, "My mercies are new every morning." Lord, help us. So when it comes to these four things that Paul mentions, he points to these things in a manner that suggests to us that they should be absolute, obvious parts of our Christian lives. So the question becomes, as we think about these foundations, am I experiencing His affection and mercy? Am I understanding the fellowship of the Spirit? Am I getting loved on by the Lord? Am I being encouraged by the Lord? And I don't know about you, but as I read these things, it should strike you and come out in your mind. You should think as a Christian, hey, you know, I need to spend time with the Lord. I need to take time to hear from Him, to be loved on by Him, for Him to tell me, look, you messed up, but you didn't mean to, but I'm going to help you in this situation. And it causes us to be people that show grace to others. That say, you know what, you've said something that offends me, but I'm willing to come and talk to you about it and work it out. The foundation of our unity in the body of believers is our personal experience with the Lord. Someone once said, we have never achieved perfect unity in a local church any more than any of us has been completely transformed to the image of Christ. Guys, throughout my life as a follower of Jesus, I have heard countless numbers of people, heard and watched, that say, you know what, I'm going to go to this fellowship because this is, well, the grass is greener on the other side. Only for them to experience the same thing. Unity is something that we have to have a foundation in order to be unified with other believers. And the more we're transformed into the image of Christ, the more likely we are to be connected with other Christians. But I want you to pay attention to this, guys, because if you're listening, if you're hearing this message, if you always have problems with other people, it is very likely that these foundations are not there, or they are not being tapped into. Because I can tell you from my life that I've watched people that have been so connected to the Lord that they have a way of just sort of blending in and just matching up and linking up with people, some of which they've never even met, because they're united by the Holy Spirit who connects all of us. But pay attention, if you're a person that goes from relationship to relationship, from church to church, the problem is probably not the church, although there may be legitimate reasons that a person would say, hey, I can't fellowship here anymore. Maybe they had to move. Maybe there was some false teaching that compromised the essential things in the Bible. But it's usually not those things at all. It's usually someone, you know, I don't like this person or they don't like me. We don't agree on something that's not that all important. So now we go here in this next part, from foundations to fruits, because these foundations, of course, if they're tapped into, are going to lead to these fruits. And this is what we find in verse 2. Pay attention, there's four of them here. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. I love this. When Paul asks here, fulfill my joy, I want you guys to sort of underline that. Pay attention to that. Paul the apostle, he's locked up in jail. He's writing to the Philippians and he's saying to them, give me joy, not grief. He's saying, make me joyous because I know that you people are working out your differences. Nothing grieved the Apostle Paul more than to look at the church in Philippi and to see people having external conflicts, internal conflicts, and people not getting along because they had their eyes off of Christ. And he said, "Fulfill my joy." It was almost a personal heart request. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Be of one accord. Be of one mind. Together, all of these speak of sort of the same idea, that it's a deep, it's an abiding, eternal connection among the Philippians that he wanted to see happen. Now, pause and let me get your attention. Next week, we're going to answer the how question. How does a person have this unity? How does it work? Well, through humility and through ministry is really your answer. So I guess you could skip next week, but you wouldn't get fed very much. Next week, we're going to talk about how. Paul goes on to describe how in verses 3 and 4. Earlier on, in Philippians 1, verse 4, Paul actually said that he had great joy for the believers that were there. But he's saying, fulfill my joy. Take it to another level. Make it complete by being unified, by having the same mind. These four results of being unified in Christ. Show the results of what takes place in a fellowship when the foundation is there. Leaders, people within the fellowship, they're going to experience joy. They're going to experience the Lord. But let me just say, and getting your attention, pay attention to this, guys, because a lot of times joy is cut off in the fellowship because people are bickering and fighting and focused on things that don't matter instead of the things that do. Joy is always disturbed. Pay attention, write this down, remember these things. Joy is always messed up when there's criticism, dissatisfaction, grumbling, gossip, murmuring, opposition, cliques, and other divisive things. Because they don't revolve around Christ. They revolve around the flesh. And so we can think about it simply this way. The flesh divides, the Spirit unites. Christians, we are here to worship the Lord, to plan things for the glory of God, to organize things for the glory of God, to minister to each other, to actually serve each other with joy. I love how the Lord encourages believers. Even during this time, there's been all kinds of creative ways that people have sought to encourage other believers, even though they're separated. You know, the first one that comes to mind, because it's so good and my stomach is still full, is the fact that the James family, specifically Earl James, brought me a key lime pie yesterday, which only half of it is left in the fridge. I'm sorry if you didn't receive a key lime pie, but man, I was encouraged. There's been a lot of that going on. People sharing things with one another, seeking to minister to each other in joy. But God wants us to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be of one accord, of one mind. And Paul encourages these four fruits of unity. And so I want you to pay attention to that first one, being like-minded. What does that mean? Paul wanted the Philippians to understand the importance of a unified outlook. So pause and let me get your attention. Pay attention to this. We can only be like-minded when we keep the main thing in the Bible. There will be no like-mindedness if we don't stick to the Scriptures. But understand, this doesn't mean that believers have to agree on everything. Because the fact of the matter is this, we can be like-minded on the majors And we can also have different views on the minors, but as long as we don't switch the two, everything works. But the moment that someone takes a small thing and says, this is a major, it becomes divisive. I love the fact that over the years, I have been able to fellowship, serve, and be connected with people that do not believe some of the same things I do, but they believe the main things that I believe. I love that. Like-minded is also translated attitude. Have the same attitude. Be like-minded. Common experience with the Lord. Like-mindedness. Number two is having the same love. Because these believers had received comfort from the Lord, like we talked about in those foundations, they ought to have that same love for one another. They should love like Jesus loved, not only to their brothers and sisters, but also to the lost world. Paul says, have the same love. Then he says the third one, being of one accord. If you're taking notes, write down John 17, verse 22. This is Jesus' prayer, really the Lord's prayer in John 17. And it actually says there, Jesus said, he prayed that they may be one as we are one. He wanted that unity. He wanted that one accord. That one group of people that were connected vitally through Christ, that were operating together as one. I want to pause and say that I think one of the biggest issues that comes up within the fellowship as we think about Christian community is this, and do not miss this, because this is the biggest problem within the fellowship of all, in all places, really. It's a problem when people want to be experiencing this connection with other believers, but they don't give their whole life in the sense of being connected in numerous ways. Let me be specific. People want to be connected and in the know, but they don't want to come to church, fellowship, or communicate with believers every week. There are those that want to be, you know, ministered to and encouraged by others and encourage others, but they do not want to serve in areas that are needed or consistently do something for the Lord with the body on a weekly basis. There are those that want the fruits of fellowship but do not want to contribute any kind of financial at all to the fellowship. And I found over the years that the many times those that are only wanting to do certain things are not fully in and wanting to be of one accord. Being of one accord requires us to be all in. So my question as we think about being one accord is, are you all in? Do you say this is Pastor John's church? Do you say that's so-and-so's church? Or that's the church? Or do you say that's my church? The things that are going on there, those are my concerns as well. Ownership has a lot to do with being of one accord. Of one mind. As they were standing firm in the Spirit, they had to overcome these small differences. They had to work out things and go toward a common purpose. You know what that common goal was? To spread the gospel. And I love this because I always think back to, and some of you are familiar, you've probably heard me share this story, but for years, when I was in Austin as a youth pastor, and doing skateboarding ministry, I partnered with numerous churches. And although I was partnering with an Assembly of God, a Methodist church, Bible churches, All of those particular fellowships held to the main things at that point. Who is Jesus? How do you get to heaven? What must you do to be saved? All of those really basic things. Who is God? And we all connected, even though we had very different fellowships and very different philosophies of ministry, because the gospel was at the top, we were able to come together and unite. And when we had these events, the one that I'm referring to that I think was an awesome example was the City Coliseum in downtown Austin that's since been destroyed, but it was a huge building, and we had this skate park, and all of these churches came together, and we put on this huge contest, and tons of kids came, like 700 kids. We preached the gospel. We did a really good contest, top quality, gave out some great cash prizes and lots of gifts to the kids. It was a blessing to them. We gave the gospel, and kids responded to that message. And then what was neat was, wherever they lived, we coordinated with those churches for them to go to those particular places to get with a youth group and connect with other Christians. And it was an awesome example of churches coming together under the banner of the gospel of Jesus Christ and accomplishing some amazing stuff. And this is the way it should be within a church body. This unity that Paul is encouraging would keep the Philippian church able to stand against vast persecutions that were on their way. But I always have to quote Francis Schaeffer. He said this: "We cannot expect the world to believe that the Father sent the Son, that Jesus' claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of the oneness of true Christians." Many times people say, you know what, these Christians, I don't want to hang out with them. They don't get along. And that should not be the case. Paul would be horrified at the fragmentation and lack of unity among believers and churches today. And while legitimate differences of doctrine have to be looked at, when things go into the major realm, we have to say, you know what, I can't fellowship with you because you believe in something that is contrary to who God is and what the Word of God teaches, and it is wrong. But that's more the exception. The rule is that we should have more unity than division. We should be able to agree, yes, Jesus saved me, Jesus saved you. We're talking about the same Jesus, not the Mormon Jesus. That's not Jesus of the New Testament. But there are some who relate to other believers, I think, based on externals. And this is superficial. Because how we look on the outside is really not important. What matters is the inside. Knowing the Lord, walking with the Lord. This should be our primary focus. We shouldn't go into a fellowship and say, because people don't look like me, talk like me, and act like me, I can't fellowship here. The real question is, does God want you to fellowship there? The church has spent way too much time focusing on the externals rather than the internals. And I want to close with this story. It was Haddon Robinson, the great expositor of expositors, the great teacher, who said this story, and I've always loved this because I think it really illustrates how completely bonkers it is, guys, to not be connected with other Christians. Haddon Robinson said a man went into an insane asylum. It was one of those places for the criminally insane. I mean, really rough place. He was a bit surprised to find that there were 3 guards to take care of 100 inmates. 100 people, criminally insane. And he said to one of the guards, he said, "Aren't you afraid that these inmates will unite and kind of team up on you and get out of here?" And he said these words, and this is what I want you to stick in your mind. He said, "Lunatics never unite." It's crazy to not be united with other believers. Paul knew that for the Philippians to survive, they needed to be reminded of the foundations and the fruits of unity. That unity didn't need to be a suggestion, but something that they went out of their way to cultivate and honor and acknowledge their need for. But I want to say in closing that even later on in the book of Philippians, Paul definitely gives very pragmatic, very tangible things that can help us to keep the main thing the main thing. And right now, I mean, seriously, whatever you're doing, stop and listen. There's so much information coming at us from so many different directions, so many different distractions, and now we have the time to be even more distracted. We're inundated with so much. But the Bible warns us that we need to be careful about our intake. We need to be careful about our focus. Because not only can we scramble our brains with too much information and basically just become, you know, overloaded, but we can also be misled. And so if we're going to keep the main thing, we need to remember what Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And he told the Philippians this. He said, "Finally, believers..." This is the Amplified version. "Whatever's true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God, who is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you." It's a pretty cool version. Keys to Christian community. The first one, unity. Next week, we're going to learn about humility and ministry, and I challenge you to go and meditate on what we've talked about today. Dig into those foundations. Experience those fruits. Be connected with other believers.